Exodus chapter 8. And we're going to start with verse number 22. Tonight we're going to talk about this Antichrist, the Antichrist and worship to the Lord. And the Antichrist and worship and the worship of the Lord. And how the Antichrist and the beast system want to interfere with the worship of the Lord. And God said something. When we left off in the book of Exodus, we were talking about God said he was going to separate, call out an army. Remember that? And he was going to call out an army. And he would call out that army, and they would be his people, and they would be his army. He would call them out of Egypt. He would call them out of the world, and that's exactly what he would do. So God did that. He was doing that. Now we get, and Pharaoh still says, I will not let those people go. Now God told him that he wasn't going to let them go. He told them that, he told Moses, now listen, you tell him I'm going to kill his firstborn son if he doesn't let my firstborn son go. And he still didn't listen. He still didn't let him go, let Israel go. So now we're in the midst of these plagues, and God says something. He begins to do something in Exodus chapter 8. So far, all the plagues that had come up to that point had fell on all the people. Even the Israelites suffered a few of those things, I believe, at that time. They suffered some of those things. But in Exodus chapter 8, that was part of the Lord's chastisement for Israel, I believe. God allows us to go through some things sometimes with the world, but he doesn't judge us in the end with the world. Because you notice in Exodus chapter 8, verse number 22, he says this, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. So God says, I'm going to sever you from Egypt. And I'm going to, even in the midst of Egypt, before I take you up out of the world, I'm going to sever your land. I'm going to sever where you are, the land of Goshen. And I'm going to cause all the plagues to fall upon everyone else except you. You're not going to see any of these plagues. You're not going to feel any of them, but everyone around you is going to. Okay, and that's what God was doing here. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. Verse number 23, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. So separation is a sign. That biblical separation, after God saves you, that separation that he puts in is a sign to the world. Like we talked about, it's a sign to the world that shows the world that you're different. It shows the world what salvation really is. See, I don't believe in a gospel that doesn't change someone. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've had a lot of people be mad at me about that over the years. I've heard them say things like, well, I believe in a gospel that could change someone. Oh, that's a terrible gospel. I wouldn't want that at all. I wouldn't want a gospel that didn't change someone. Right? Because the Bible says that it does change you. What's regeneration mean? It makes you new. It puts new life in you, right? It gives you life. And yes, you still have your old nature, but you have the new nature that's inside of you. And that's what God says he's going to do for his people. He's going to sever them. He's going to separate them. And that's the practical application of after you're regenerated, then God separates you unto the gospel. He separates you in this world, and he shows the difference. The world's not the same place as it was before you got saved. Before you're saved, you know, if you've been in the world, before you're saved, you look at the world in a different light. But once you get saved by the grace of God, you don't look at the world any longer like that. You don't love it like you did before. And if you ever start loving it, then God will discipline you and you won't love it anymore. But anyway, he says here that the Lord did so, and there became a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Now here's what we're going to pick up on tonight. He says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and he said, go ye and sacrifice to your God in the land. Okay, so notice now, Pharaoh was a picture of the Antichrist. He wants to tell the church, the Old Testament church here, he wants to tell them how they're going to worship.
Yeah.
You see that? He wants to, Pharaoh being the Antichrist, the beast system, the ruler of the world at that time, the governments of this world, and he wants to tell them, you're going to worship this way. And Pharaoh called for Moses and he said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away, entreat for me. So now here's what Pharaoh is doing. He's trying to make a deal with them. That's what Pharaoh is trying to do. He's trying to, and you know, that's how the beast system works. That's how this government, this Romans chapter, if you have Romans chapter 13 wrong, then you get into Revelation chapter 13 and it's the worship of the beast. Where it's, that's what's happening here with this end times religion. This whole COVID-19 thing has been used the same way. And you've got to understand, that's why we took 3 weeks and we looked at that whole situation. After 3 weeks, we said, you know what? We're not buying it.
Yeah.
We're not buying it. Because Satan was using it and is still trying to use it to tell the churches how they're going to worship God.
All the same.
And how they're going to worship, right? So, God says, no, I'll separate you. I'll put division in. God's the one that puts the division in, right? But you know what happens? Pharaoh wants to tell them how to worship. Pharaoh wants to tell them how to sacrifice to their God. Well, you can go sacrifice to your God, but just do it in the land. Stay here. Stay in the world and do it before us. You see, that's what the problem is with churches today. The problem with churches today is, kids, you got to understand something. I want you to pay close attention to this. Because when I'm dead and gone, you're going to understand this better. Listen to me. Many of the churches today, you know what they want to do? They want the world, they want Egypt to accept their worship. They want to follow what the world says, and they want to have church like the world has it. They want to have Egypt's music. They want to be in Egypt's land and do it. They want to be in the world. They want their church to be worldly to attract the world, right? And then Pharaoh won't be mad. They'll get Pharaoh's permission to do whatever they want, and then they can worship God, but they'll do it the way Pharaoh says, not the way God says. But if you look at something, Christ is always opposed to Antichrist. And that's what's happening here. This is a picture for us to understand that right here, right now, what we see here is that Pharaoh is saying, well, okay, fine. Let's make a deal. Anytime the government tells the church, let's make a deal, that's a problem right there.
Yeah.
Because there can be no deal. What needs to happen, what needs to take place is no deal, but the church has the right to worship according to the dictates of their own hearts, according to the Bible.
Amen.
Now, they have the right to be wrong, too, and God will judge them, but it's not the state's duty. Roger Williams called the church a garden enclosed. He said that him and Isaac Backus and John Leland, men like that, they made comments and they said things like, the church is too high. The government has no place. Why? Because the matters of the church are too high for the government to understand.
Yep.
The government can't possibly understand. These things are spiritually discerned. They'll never understand what a church is supposed to do. So, what happened here? Pharaoh says, well, let's make a deal. Why don't you just worship your God right here? You just sacrifice to your God right here and do it this way. Stay a slave to Pharaoh. Stay a slave to Egypt. And just add in some worship. Add in some sacrifice to your God. Just add it in. So, in other words, Pharaoh was saying, you got to have my permission.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice what God did. God's like, no, I'm going to make Pharaoh thrust you out. See, God destroyed Egypt because of Pharaoh's sin. He destroyed Egypt before Israel left. And you're going to find out later on in Exodus that there is nothing left of Egypt. When they're done, Egypt is destroyed. Why? Because he hardened his heart against God.
Yep.
Now, what did Moses say here? He said, we can't sacrifice to our God in the way of the world. Our worship is in spirit and in truth. So what he was telling him is, look, they hate our God. They hate the worship to our God. We can't go do this before the world. We can't worship our God, and we can't have our church services and our before the Egyptians. Why? What we do is an abomination to them. And did you know that's true? That it still is that way today? That how we serve God and how we follow this book and how we preach this book and how you live your life and how we as parents are teaching you to be separated, sanctified, to dress right, to have a heart for God, to obey His commandments, to abstain from all appearance of evil, to stay away from drugs and liquor, and not to fornicate, not to live in sin and wickedness and vileness. This world calls an abomination. They hate it. Everything that this book stands for, this world is against. Everything. They are against it. And that's what. And Moses knew that. He says, I can't do that. They'll stone us right here. What was he meaning? Was he really afraid of them stoning him? Well, not really. What he was saying was is that it's an abomination to them. Like, they're going to hate it. They're going to see us worshiping our God, and they're going to hate it. You know why we don't invite, you know, typically we don't invite lost people. I know sometimes I hand out tracts and say, tell people, if you're ever in Minnesota, come see us. You know, and stuff like that. I say that sometimes to people. But we don't necessarily invite lost people to the assembly. We don't attract lost people to the assembly. Right? I don't think it's a sin for a lost person to be there, obviously. What I'm saying is we don't attract them. We don't do things. We don't attract the goats. Shiny things attract the goats, right? We don't do that. We're not clowns, and we don't amuse the goats. We don't try to get them there. We don't try to get the world into the church. Why? Because we don't want the world there.
Nope. We
have to deal with the world all the time. We have to love people and preach to them and tell them about Christ. But we don't want the world in the church. We're a called out assembly. We're a garden enclosed right away from the world. And it's so we don't want them there in that sense. We don't want the world to be in the church. So that's why we did. So what Pharaoh was saying is, well, just do it in front of us. I mean, do whatever you're going to do. And he said, no, because it's an abomination to them. And it is. It is an abomination to the world when they see we. I mean, just look at it. All this gay pride stuff. This is gay pride month. And all this stuff, June is here, almost ended, and they're talking about, you know what I got on my, like, kids, I want you to understand something, I want you to listen to me. I got on my phone today, actually, it might be on here, but I got on this right here, and you know that the company that sells the clothes for kids?
Yeah.
I took a picture of it. That Carter company that sells, they sent a gay pride banner and email to me stating that happy pride, and they had a bunch of queers, a bunch of sodomite perverts, a bunch of devil possessed sodomite perverts holding little children.
Children?
No, as their children, like they had these children. Well, listen, you know as well as I do, boys and boys don't make babies. And girls don't make babies. And those people are a bunch of lying, perverted devils, is what they are. And that's exactly what they are. Right? How's that song go? Right? Come on down to the farm. Come on out to the barn. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. Right?
They're like fighting jokes.
Think about that, right? That's just plain biology, right? Right, Prudy? That's plain biology, isn't it? That's what that is. That's just plain biology, isn't it? Right? You're a girl. You're a boy. You're a girl. And you're a girl. That's the way it works, right? We know the difference in that. We know that, but see, the world calls what I just said to you, they call that an abomination. But you know what God calls an abomination? What they do.
That's right.
The two don't mix. And when you try to mix them, guess what happens, children? Guess what happens?
A mess.
A mess, that's right. So Moses knew this. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us." Notice what he said. He said Pharaoh. He said governor. He said president. He said secretary of health administration, or whatever cockamamie title you give yourself.
Come on.
He said, what he said to them is, no, we will worship God. We will serve God. How? We will sacrifice to the Lord our God. He said, we will do as he shall command us.
Amen.
Right? As he shall command us. Oh. That's what he said. As he shall command us. Not what Pharaoh said. Look, Pharaoh, we're not negotiating with you. We're not playing let's make a deal. And that's what I say to the Minnesota governor and all of them. I'm not negotiating with you. We're not playing let's make a deal here. We're not letting you tell us what we're going to do when it comes to this book and worship of our God and service to our God and sacrifice to our God. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. So, what Moses was saying is, Pharaoh, basically you have no lot or part in this matter. Just like Peter said to Simon the sorcerer. Look, Pharaoh, look, you Antichrist, look, you don't have any part nor lot in this matter. You don't have any right to tell us how we're going to worship our Lord.
Amen.
Right? You don't have any right to that. Well, Romans chapter 13 talks about that, right? Talks about the powers that be. Revelation 13 illustrates to us, like this passage, that the beast has no place governing our faith. Moses told Pharaoh, very, very adamantly, it was not his concern how they worshiped God. It was not his concern how they sacrificed to their God. It was none of his business. Right? What is the best thing the government can do towards the church? Leave them alone.
Right.
That's the best.
That's amen. That's right.
What's the best thing a church could do? Stay a spiritual entity and not a legal entity, and not ask for tax-exempt status, and not ask for a tax identification number, and not ask for incorporation to become a creature of the state, so then they're governed by the states and the state and its rules. Because that's what a creature of the state is. See, here's the difference. Moses said, hey, we're leaving one way or another. That's how that's working. What would modern day churches say today?
Sure.
They would. Exactly. What would they say today? They would say, well, let's make a deal. Pharaoh, you offered us, you said we could worship God in our land, and we'd be fine and you'd protect us. So let's go ahead and make a deal. We'll take your offer. I mean, does it kind of sound like that?
Yeah.
All right, let me go a little bit deeper here. So some of these pastors are doing thermal checks at the door of fevers and checking people for fevers at the door and making their congregants wear masks and everything else.
We tell them how to preach.
Right? I noticed, though, there wasn't anybody doing that at the riots when they were burning the city of Minneapolis down. Did you notice that? How there wasn't anybody there doing that, kids? Nobody was walking around with a thermometer, a forehead thermometer saying, well, come here now, let me scan your head to make sure you don't have a fever while you burn this Wendy's down. Right? I don't think I saw that. I don't remember seeing that anyway. Maybe I missed the health department Nazis coming out and doing that. Did I miss that somehow? Maybe I didn't see that video. Maybe I'll scour through YouTube and see if I can find the video of those Nazis doing that when all of them were out there. But no, what do they want to do? Knock on the door of the meeting house and tell the pastors that they're going to do that. And some of the pastors are all too ready to bend in and give in and do that. Well, man, that's pretty good right there.
Preaching, come on.
It's the truth, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's the truth. It's the truth, right?
Yeah, what you're preaching on.
I mean, it is.
Absolutely, what you're preaching on.
It was not his concern how they worshipped, nor did he want Pharaoh's permission. But, you know, God, to show his power, raised up Pharaoh. He said, to show my power, I raised Pharaoh up. He said, I raised him up and I'm going to take him down. And I'm only going to do it to show my power. I'm going to take the greatest ruler in the known world at the time, Pharaoh, and I'm going to drop him like a bad habit. Right there. Before all the world to see. Right? He said, that's why I raised him up. He says, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, in chapter 9, and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? God said, I'm going to raise him up, and I'm going to raise Pharaoh up to that, I'm going to knock him down in front of everyone to see. Everyone's going to see it. The whole world, all of Egypt is going to see it. You know, Pharaoh still tries to find a way to dictate the worship. The state still tries to find a way to do it. We're seeing it today. It's no different. They're flexing their muscles against churches today. They're trying to, you know, people are spying out churches and calling the cops on them and everything else and telling them they're going to do this and telling them they're going to do that. You know, and that they have a right to do that, and they can tell, they can shut you down and they can do this and they can do that. Well, all I'm saying is the same example we see here, and Moses' response is the exact same response that we should have. Right? Moses said, he said, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us.
Yep.
Not Pharaoh, not how you tell us. Not your suggestions, Pharaoh. Not your deal you want to make with us, Pharaoh. Not the way you want to negotiate with us, Pharaoh. But there's no negotiation. Right? But we'll worship the way the Lord tells us to.
Man.
And that's the example that we have. That's what we have to remember. The church is not the world, and the world is not the church. And if you try to mix those two together, it is a hybridization. Our music is to be different than the world. Our speech is to be different than the world. Our actions, our walk, our talk. Right? Our dress. Right? We're to be different. We're to be separated, sanctified. God says, I will sever you. I will separate you. And that includes, especially down to, the very worship of God, the very sacrifices of praise that we offer to the Lord, and the very things that God has commanded us to do. They're all to be different. And if someone tells you, you got to be more like the world, you got to loosen up, you got to be more like the world, because as you get older, there's going to be people that are going to, you're going to see different churches and different things, and you're going to see things out there, and they're going to tell you, oh, well, you know, we just love people, we want to reach them, so we're willing to do this. And what they're telling you is they're willing to be like the world, to become attractive to the world, so they'll come into the church. What they're telling you to do is to compromise what you believe, compromise what God's Word has said to us, compromise your standards, compromise your sanctification, your separation, to compromise your very profession of faith in order to make the world love it. And you as children will always be faced with that. As you grow older, there will be a time when it's your time and you're faced with that. And you're going to have to make the decision whether you will obey God rather than man. And I can't make that decision for you. I can guide you all these years and raise you up and to teach you and to train you. But But someday you're going to be faced with that decision. And you're going to have to make the decision that you're willing to obey the Lord, that you want to obey God and follow His word, and not give in to what the world wants, or what the government wants, or what Pharaoh wants, or what the Antichrist beast system wants. But it is God who saved us. It is Jesus who shed His blood for us, who died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And it is Him that, and it's the Holy Ghost of God that fills us with His Spirit, seals us under the day of redemption. All glory goes to God. And the Lamb of God, which was slain from the foundation of the world. The glory goes to Him, and we should follow Him. He gave us a book to follow. And that's the one we follow. Father in heaven, Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it. And Lord, help us to stand for the truth in this age of apostasy that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, what you said.